warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyon Live.
I like that. I like that. A man on a mission from God. Gotta like that. I'm not Bob Enyart. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. You caught me by surprise there, Wally. I didn't know 1 minute meant 1 minute till we're live on the air. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney, a mere pew warmer at Denver Bible Church, but so happy that Bob's allowed me to sit in. As Bob is away, and he will be away today and tomorrow, I do believe, he is doing some show prep for an important interview. An interview in furtherance of the final defeat of Darwinistic evolution. Yeah, the final defeat. Boy, are all you idiots who bought into that going to be embarrassed, huh, when the final nail is driven into that coffin? Darwinian evolution. That's going to be an embarrassing day for an awful lot of people. And Bob is working on bringing that day sooner rather than later. Now, I got like three stories I want to start with. But every time I guest host for Bob, I have a fear, like a dark cloud over my head, because I'm afraid I'm going to say something for which I will be banned for life from ever sitting in again. So maybe before I've got the story of Edward Snowden. He's the leaker, the traitor. I called him a traitor. Now, maybe I'll just throw this question out there as we start the show. Has anyone out there who listens to Michael Savage or Glenn Beck heard them do a mea culpa on the air for calling this guy a hero? Has anybody heard that? I just want to know. I don't listen to them very much anymore, so I don't know. But I do remember them calling him a hero, and I just want to know. You know, he's been offered sanctuary now from Bolivia, Nicaragua, and who's the other communist? Venezuela, and he's sitting in the Russian airport there. So do we need any further proof that at the very least, Edward Snowden is not a hero? That's all. Has anyone heard Michael Savage come on and say, you know, I was wrong? Or has Glenn Beck and his sidekicks come on and say and admitted that they were wrong? If you've heard it, well, give us a call. Our number, you know the number, right? They know the number. Should I give the number? It's 800-836-9278. If you've heard the mea culpa, or if you haven't heard the mea culpa and you want to let me know what's going on with other talk shows, give me a call. That's all I have on Mr. Snowden. But I have these other two stories, one about Aaron Hernandez, the New England Patriot who's been arrested for murder. And then I've got a story with Cornel West in which I was going to do my Cornel West impression. But that's when I saw that dark cloud. And I thought, that could be someone needs to get Bob on the phone and ask him if it would be considered racist for me to do a Cornel West impersonation since I'm a white guy and Cornel West is a person of color. Perhaps? Anyway, get Bob on the phone. Find out if a Cornel West impression is outside the bounds. Maybe that's not good. So we'll let that story sit for right now. And I'll talk about the miracle of Flight 214. You've all heard about the plane crash out at San Francisco Airport. And I think I've heard the word miracle about 1,000,006 times since the plane first crashed. And I just want to let people know that when God does a miracle, people don't get burned or die. Or the plane wouldn't have even broken up. In fact, if it was a miracle, the plane would have landed. When miracles occur, ladies and gentlemen, there aren't people in intensive care. So stop calling it a miracle. It's actually a very unfortunate and tragic situation is what it is. Nothing miraculous about it at all. Stop perpetrating superstition upon people and making people think that Christians are superstitious morons. Because we're not. And we don't think it was a miracle. There. I guess I've said just about enough about that. All right, we'll set Cornel West aside. And we'll set Mr. Edward Snowden aside. In fact, we'll put them together. Because birds of a feather, you know, they tend to flock together. But let's talk about Aaron Hernandez. Okay, now I gave up football in any serious way back in 1994. Whenever OJ cut that girl's head off, when OJ cut Nicole's head off and the boyfriend cut him up and killed those people, I gave up football. Until 1998, when the Broncos made it to the Super Bowl, and then me being the ultimate bandwagon guy, I got on board for the 99 and 2000 seasons. I forget exactly. It was back there a ways. But whenever the Broncos won, I was on board again. Other than that, I got no time for football. And then there was Ray Lewis. Him and his friends had the guy's blood all over him in the parking lot. The guy was dead. Nobody's convicted. Nobody can find Ray Lewis's white suit. It was a white suit, right? Well, red and white, probably, if it ever is found. But so I've given up on football. But, of course, now being the ultimate bandwagoner, as soon as the Patriots drafted Tim Tebow, I became a Patriots fan, of course. And now we find out that Aaron Hernandez has probably killed at least three people and has shot four people, more than likely, setting a new standard in the NFL, right? So OJ and Ray Lewis, they're amateurs compared to Aaron Hernandez, allegedly. Of course, it's all alleged at this point. He shot one guy in the eye at a strip club. He got into an argument with two other guys at a strip club and may have killed them a few years ago. And then he got into an argument with this friend of his, Odin Lloyd, at a strip club. And, well, he was found later murdered. So Aaron Hernandez is now in jail. And who was their other tight end? Isn't that the name of the position, tight end, right? You're a lot of help, Wally. Google it up. Help me out. No, there was Aaron Hernandez was a star tight end for the New England Patriots. And then there was another fellow who made some very crude remarks about young Timmy Tebow last season or season before last. He was their other tight end, and he's out with some kind of injury, a well-deserved injury and surgery, and hopefully a prolonged, painful recovery for that guy, whose name I forget. So the big question in everyone's mind, of course, the first question that needs to be settled is, did Aaron Hernandez indeed shoot these four people, killing three of them? Is he a murderer? And if so, he should be prosecuted and punished to the full extent of the law, hopefully put to death publicly and painfully. But the second question that's on everyone's mind is, does this mean Tim Tebow will be a tight end? Or is it a safety? I might have it backwards. If anyone in the audience knows about football and you can help me out, tight end, safety. Anyway, Tim Tebow wants to be a quarterback, right? And he said that's all he ever wanted to be was a quarterback. Now he finds himself on a team where these two guys have gone down, whether they're safeties or tight ends, or right guards, or left field, shortstops, whatever they are, they're gone. They're down. And so, Tim, I can see the coach going into Tim Tebow and saying, listen, Tim, we drafted you as a quarterback, but we're in a bit of a pinch. You seem to be in pretty good shape, and you could probably handle the job. Would you help us out by playing a position other than quarterback? And my question to the audience today, if you even want to answer it, if you're even interested at this point, is do you think Tim Tebow would quit the team because they wouldn't let him play quarterback? Or do you think he would step up for the team in their time of need and play a position other than quarterback and perhaps change the trajectory of his entire career just to help out his fellow man? Where do you think Tim's head is in all that? Anyway, that's... Obviously, I didn't even know who Aaron Hernandez was before he killed this guy, allegedly. I didn't even know who he was. But anyone with that many tattoos, I mean, please. I saw a disturbing scene on the news last night. I was watching the local news just by accident. I'm just trying to get the weather. I saw an associate pastor for a well-known Christian church here in the Metro Denver area who had these giant ear-stretching rubber grommets in his earlobes so that you could see right through his earlobes and you could see his jugular vein right through his earlobe. This is an associate pastor at a well-known Christian church. Now, I'm not going to name the church just because I don't want to make anybody mad. But let me just say, if you go to church and the senior pastor introduces the new associate pastor, and he has giant black rubber ear grommets, and you can see right through his earlobe to his jugular vein, you might want to think of taking your kids to another church. That's all. Yes, that's judgmental. It is. And it's stereotyping. Yes, I admit it. Hey, it's kept me out of trouble so far. I'm going to stick with what works. No large tattoo displays and no body piercing and rubber ear grommets shall be allowed. If I were ever to pastor a church, Lord willing, someday, possibly, if you've got the ear-stretching grommets, you're going to want to get that fixed before you come down and apply for the associate pastor job. That's all. That was very disturbing to see that on the news last night. Let's see. Nobody cares about Aaron Hernandez. Nobody wants to help me with Tim Tebow. Nobody knows if it's a safety or a tight end. So I'll have to go to Chicago. I have to move on to Chicago because the police superintendent there in Chicago, he did an interview this morning on Chicago television, and he said he was very disappointed in the events of the past week in Chicago. He said he was disappointed. The events to which he was referring, well, over the 4th of July weekend, 11 people were killed and at least 61 were wounded in violence around Tahrir Square. No, not Tahrir Square, around the Miracle Mile, the South Side. 11 dead, 61 wounded in a major American metropolitan city where supposedly the government is in charge of securing the blessings of liberty, domestic tranquility, right? So it's somebody's falling down on the job. The good news is the police superintendent is disappointed. But between him and Rahm Emanuel, he assures us that he has a plan to deal with, well, let's see here. Oh, he noted that this year's homicide total in Chicago is down by 76 victims so far this year, and the year's only half over. 76 fewer people brutally murdered in the streets of Chicago as compared to last year. And he says, hey, I am disappointed, but let me point out, there have been 350 fewer shootings in Chicago this year than last year. Now, there's been over 1,000 shootings. And what you know, when you get into numbers that big, if you're in a city where you can have 350 fewer shootings than you had last year, you might want to try something different because this is not working. So that's Chicago. Do you folks think we should be expected as civilized human beings to tolerate this level of bloodshed in our midst? Should we? Well, I would posit that we have chosen to do so and that we all tolerate the slaughter of a couple thousand innocent people every day. And these aren't innocent people as in they weren't committing a crime on the South Side of Chicago when they were killed. These are the most innocent, the most helpless among us who are being brutally murdered every day by the thousands right in our midst from the small town in the Midwest to the South Side of Chicago. And when life is devalued to that level, this is what happens in the streets. You have Chicago that looks like a Middle Eastern city in Syria, a higher body count. And next week, I believe, let me see here. Let me see if I got the bat signal from one of my associates. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, so next week, Bob is scheduled to interview T. Russell Hunter, who is the founder of Abolish Human Abortion. Oh, you'll want to tune into that. You should check this guy's website out. He's got a great website, churchrepent.com, and he goes through a list of reasons they exhort churches. And I don't want to give it away, but their method of exhorting churches, I'm down with that. They've got pictures of them exhorting a United Methodist church, so you figure it out. I love the compare. He says, any church that says abortion is just like any other sin, you know, like gossip, you know, overeating, any church that says that needs exhortation. And him and his crew, well, they go exhort the churches. And I thank God for the fella. T. Russell Hunter. Tune in next week. He was going to come on this week, but he's having some kind of a root canal or something. Anyway, we'll have him next week, Lord willing. And if the creeks don't rise and the tooth heals and the recovery goes according to plan, T. Russell Hunter, founder of Abolish Human Abortion, will be in next week. So you want to tune in for that. And go check out his site, churchrepent.com. I read the guy's website and I thought, has this guy been sitting behind me at Denver Bible Church for the last few years and I just missed him? I mean, definitely a kindred spirit and one of us, one of the good guys. Did we get a word, did we get a judgment from Bob on the Cornel West impression? Not yet. He said he really wasn't interested and that I should just do whatever I need to do to get the show finished. No. Oh, we just haven't gotten a hold of him. Okay, well, I'm going to put the Cornel West story aside. But please let Bob know that I've been practicing that. And I'd hate to not be able to do that. All right, so we finished with Chicago here. 76 fewer murder victims this year in Chicago. Thanks to Rahm Emanuel. There's an ironic name. Rahm Emanuel. Emanuel meaning God with us. Rahm meaning not. I don't know what Rahm means, but it must mean something to negate the rest of his name, if there's any poetic justice in the universe. All right, so we talked about Aaron Hernandez. We talked about the slaughter in our midst, the blood running through the streets, the innocent people being killed, Chicago and elsewhere, from Chicago to Wichita to Denver, San Francisco, San Diego. Well, let's continue with the violent thread. This is a story I pulled down. Well, it was before the 4th of July, but I wanted to mention this just to let you know how bad things are out there. This is from Fort Worth, Texas. Texas. Should we talk about Texas and Rick Perry and what they're doing down there? Rick Perry has been, he's been subordinated. He's been infiltrated by the traitors over at the National Right to Life Committee. Now, I remember I was at a town hall meeting a few years back when Rick Perry was running for president, and I heard Rick Perry from his own lips say that he believed life begins at conception and that an unborn child is a person and that that person has an inalienable right to life. I heard that come from this man's lips. And now he's down there leading a big rah-rah effort to legalize the killing of children who are under 20 weeks. Now, the National Right to Life has presented it as a pro-life effort to make it illegal to kill children who are older than 20 weeks. But if you actually read the legislation, it's pretty clear that if it's 19 weeks, that it's legal to kill them. And then, of course, there are enough exceptions written into the bill to drive an abortionist's Mercedes through. Yeah. So Rick Perry, I looked into his eyes last night as he was being interviewed by someone on some news network. The network that now calls themselves, what do they call themselves now? Proud and Fearless. Have you heard that? You haven't heard that? Well, you got to listen to my show if you want to keep up on these things. Fox News, at least in one show, has changed their tagline from fair and balanced to proud and fearless, which to me can only mean that they've been taken over by homos. I mean, who else uses the whole pride thing? Anyway, God hates a proud look. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But anyway, I see Rick Perry being interviewed on Fox News last night. And I looked into his eyes and there's nobody home. There's just nobody there. I don't know what it is with Texas producing some of the most dim-witted politicians in the history of all politics. But the way Rick Perry answered questions last night, it sounded to me like he was trying to remember something he had read, but really misremembering it. And really just doing the best he could to stumble through the interview. So my prayer for Rick Perry is that he's really just stupid. And he's not, you know, like a tool of the devil or actively involved in promoting the killing of kids who are under 20 weeks. I'm hoping that's not where Rick's at. I'm hoping he's just as dumb as he looks. Yeah, I know what it is in Texas. If you're over 6'3", you got a good head of hair, decent set of choppers, you're good looking, you can be the governor. You don't have to have much of a brain. Now, why did I go off on Texas? Oh, yes. The advocacy of the well-regulated murder of certain children in hopes of saving others. You really got to be dumb to buy into that. And I'm hoping that Rick Perry falls into that category. He's just not that bright. That's all. He doesn't understand that by codifying the killing of certain children, You push the goal of ending abortion even further down the road, which means more people are going to die. And if you really believe that, Rick, well, then hopefully you wouldn't be so dumb as to buy into this whole regulation of the killing of innocent people. Yes, we live in a society where the well-regulated murder of the innocent is promoted by Christians and conservatives. And that's a bad place to be. All right, now let's go to Dallas-Fort Worth, which is where I started before I got sidetracked by the stupidity of certain members of the Texas government. Fort Worth, this is from just before the 4th of July, before the slaughter that we just recounted there in Chicago. 5-year-old Sita Osman went missing back in June. This is from CBS in Fort Worth. After an exhaustive search, the body of the 5-year-old was found behind a vacant house. Police say that they learned that the 5-year-old had been seen with a 13-year-old going into the backyard of a house in that neighborhood. Police now believe that at some point the 13-year-old became irritated with the 5-year-old and hit the little boy in the head several times, killing him. So the 13-year-old has been arrested on charges of capital murder. A 13-year-old and a 5-year-old. That's from my domestic tranquility file. The lack of domestic tranquility. What a horrifying story. Right there in Texas. Yeah. Well, I don't really have much else on the story except just to tell you the story and just let the shock of it sink in. A 13-year-old beats a 5-year-old to death in Fort Worth, Texas. Very sad. All right. Any word on the Cornel West? We don't have a ruling yet. Cornel West waits. We've only got a few more minutes. This is the fastest show in the history of all radio. This show, it seems like, is over before you know it. So I have to hurry to try to get in. Has anybody called in to tell me whether or not Tebow might play tight end, or is it safety? Nobody wants to help me with that. We probably don't have a lot of football fans in the audience. They might have turned it off after I insulted OJ and Ray Lewis. And, of course, the Broncos, dead to me. Dead to me, yeah. So, anyway, I think it's tight end. But anyway, we'll leave that aside. If someone can help us out, well, feel free. But if not, I'm going to have our producer Google. Gronkowski is his name. Google that name and tell me what position he plays. Gronkowski was the one who said, well, I can't say what he said because what he said was so foul and vile and disgusting. But anyway, he said it about Tim Tebow back before they were teammates. And I'm just wondering if Tim Tebow might end up taking up the slack that Gronkowski and this other Hernandez, the slack they leave. That's the big question in my mind. Anyway, I'll tell you what I think. I think that if the coach comes to Tebow and he says, Timmy, we're in a bind. We need your help. We need you to play, what is it? It's not punter, right? Is it left field? No? Oh, no, my researchers had to answer the phone. I may never get an answer. Anyway, I think Tebow will play whatever position the coach tells him he needs him at. And he'll do a great job, of course. And then if Tom Brady goes down, he'll step in at quarterback, and I think he'll do a serviceable job there too. That's my prediction. Just knowing the kind of fellow Tim seems to be. All right. Gronkowski, what does he play? Tight end. See, I should have never doubted myself. Both of them are tight ends. Yeah, Hernandez and Gronkowski. Yeah. So Tim Tebow can be counted on to do the work of two normal men. If need be. All right. So we've settled that. California. This is a story from the Washington Examiner. A California prison doctor has admitted to sterilizing almost 150 women over the past 4 years so that the state would not have to provide welfare funding to any children they might have in the future. Ironically enough, the doctor's name is James Heinrich. Yes, jawohl. Heinrich. Yeah, he's the OBGYN at Valley State Prison. And the The women agreed to the sterilizations, but advocates say that was only because they felt pressured by the prison doctors. Gee, you think? You think that might have happened? And they say that Heinrich's argument that he was sterilizing these women, to save money recalls the progressive Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who declared back in 1927 that three generations of imbeciles are enough. We have seen more than once that the public welfare may call upon the best citizens for their lives. It would be strange if it could not call upon those who already sap the strength of the state for these lesser sacrifices, often not felt to be such by those concerned, in order to prevent our being swamped with incompetence. That was Oliver Wendell Holmes' progressive view of your progeny and mine. Swamped with incompetence. So the progressives have come full circle now, and they've almost won. They've almost destroyed us. Oliver Wendell Holmes back in fashion. Anyway, the doctors at the jail, the prison there in California, are said to have flouted a regulation. Shocking that a doctor would flout a regulation. They flouted a regulation requiring state approval for each procedure by documenting them as medical emergencies, in quotation marks. Oh, it's an emergency that we sterilize. So once it's an emergency, the doctor can go ahead and sterilize as many as he wants. Just like, you know, the health of the mother, the life of the mother, all these exceptions in the abortion regulations that we have been so foolish as to support over the last 30 years. All those exceptions, they basically mean abortion on demand, because doctors may flout regulations. Yes, they may flout regulations, which proves that's what's written in man's law is relatively meaningless compared to what is in the heart of the men. What is in the heart of the people is what matters, not the letter of the law. It's what is in the hearts of the people. And when murder is in the hearts of the people, doctors will find a way to flout a regulation to get done what they perceive to be what they want to get done. All right. So Cornel West is upset. He is apparently a postmodern professor, whatever that means. He was on Tavis Smiley's show. And he's upset that the homosexuals are getting all these civil rights victories, and all of us black folk are being pushed to the back of the bus. We being pushed to the back of the bus by our gay brothers and our lesbian sisters. We more and more being pushed to the back of the bus. Well, Cornell, somebody should have told you back when you started supporting the equality and then the ascendancy of homosexuals that they want it all, Cornell. And they'll take it from the black brother. They'll take it from the white guy. They'll take it from the Hispanic. They'll take it from the normal people for themselves, Cornell. And we'll all end up not in the back of the bus, but we're going to be run over by the bus, Cornell, because homosexuality is a suicidal lifestyle and a suicidal public policy that is being foisted upon us because people like you decided years ago to abandon normalcy and promote perversion. Cornell, you should be ashamed of yourself. What's a postmodern professor anyways? Cornel West. Get out of here with that. That's it. It's over. Tune in tomorrow, folks. Bob will be away, and hopefully I'll still be here.